Welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land Podcast, episode 105. My name is Adam Farham. I work on IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, which this podcast is brought to you by. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. Drunk.
Good. I always assumed that you were drunk anyway, but now we know. Now it's official. And we also should make note that Mr. Adam Alexander from Fringe Music Fix is moving into a new apartment, doesn't have internet. I know that situation well, so he's not joining us on the podcast today, but Adam is with us in spirit.
RIP, that's not what you said.
And then with us, and I actually had to check through our archives to see if we had Lamar and Nick on the show before, but we haven't, and it shocked me. We waited 105 episodes to have you guys on, which is a shame on us.
I know, right? I was feeling like our invite got lost in the mail or something.
I know. We have Jesse Lamar High and Nick Harper of, you know them as Lamar plus Nick. How are you guys?
We're good. Good.
Pretty good. And I am Nick, so that everybody knows the voices.
Yeah, get the voices out there.
This is Jesse Lamar High.
And Jesse, you are in Jesse, you're in Oklahoma City, and then Nick, you are in Seattle, and you guys are all over the place. You're the only people I know that I follow you guys on Twitter and Facebook and everything, and I kind of piece together where you are. And the last I could kind of guess was you were in Paris shooting a KFC ad.
That was beginning of January, end of February, beginning of March.
Now, is that a KFC that is meant to a KFC ad that is meant to appeal to French people,
or is yeah. Oh, it's so French for sure. Yeah,
that's weird. I didn't know KFC was big out there. Or are you trying to make it big out there?
It's big.
It's not.
It's pretty big out there for some in terms of like fast food restaurant. That's one of the top ones.
And how does it compare? Do you know?
We didn't eat it, thankfully, but they you know, the dip'em buckets that are out right now, like they had those overseas first before they started bringing them over here.
Oh,
like,
shit!
It's weird they like had that forever.
Did they have a double? Where? But the double down started here, right? That's we got that.
Yeah, they don't touch
the loudest their countries.
Yeah, they didn't even know about the double down. We were asking about it.
Right, there's like a BuzzFeed post. It's like 15 things that are illegal in other countries that are legal in America, and one of those is a double down. So
are you kidding me?
Yeah, I made that part. I made that. I don't know if that's true, it's very believable.
The commercial we even did, like on their fast food commercials in France, they have to have like a disclaimer at the bottom on like the whole way through, like very visible to show the audience where they can go to get healthy food. It's really weird. Like,
it either has to take up like, it has to take 20% of the commercial up, I think, in some way. So either they have something at the end where it's just on the screen, or they like have a black bar throughout the whole commercial with this like thing that tells you to eat like so many fruits and vegetables per day or whatever.
You guys should have tried to work it in, like cardboard words or something.
that'd be awesome if we were allowed to.
Right.
So we should mention, for anybody who hasn't, people are probably familiar with the work. If they're not familiar with you guys by name, you can find a link to your Lamar plus Nick videography in the show notes. But you've probably seen the Magnolia Lush Life video. This feels like every festival I go to, that's like part of the program, and everybody loves that. And then you guys also did a few Pixies videos in 2013, Bag Boy and Indy City.
And then they did a video last week that we talked about too, right? We talked about the MNEK Every Little Word video last week, and that came out because that's when it came out. Also,
that, and this yep. is
the last place we were was London, so we had a crazy schedule. We finished KFC, and then we were home for like a week, and then immediately headed back out you know, that way, went to London to shoot that video.
Because, like, so. every time we go over there, all our companies are overseas right now. Like, anytime one, like, a plane ticket's bought for us and we're over there, they, like, really try to get us work. Like, after MNEK, our French production company hit us up and they're like, hey, I'm going to be in London. Do you want to shoot this thing? We're going to go to Barcelona and France again. And it's like, man, that's the first time I ever thought that would happen. But I was like, man, I got to go home, dude. I can't go to Barcelona. I'm sorry. Like,
man, turn down Barcelona. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that kind of stuff's hard to do sometimes. Like, yeah. But Jesse got sick on our shoot for MNEK. And so it was like, we would have had to just stay in London and then fly to Barcelona like the next day or something crazy.
Now, MNEK is the first video that you guys released after being signed and represented. But are you still shooting on your own equipment? I know that you guys own a Red camera. Is that are you still traveling with all your equipment, but from country to country?
For KSC, they actually rented my Red from me. Because we shot plates in LA, so they rented that for me, and I brought it along. But they ended up renting someone like the DP's Red or whatever when we were over there, which is fine. But and then MNEK, we ended up going with Alexa because the DP was more comfortable on Alexa.
Okay. Sweet.
And
so short answer is no, you didn't travel mostly with your camera.
Well, I did. Well, that's the thing for that video. I brought my camera over because, you know, since I own it, it's like free. We don't have to rent a camera, maybe like some bits and pieces or whatever. But really we were just trying to go for whatever was cheaper. And I don't know, somehow they made that cheaper. I'm not sure how, but, that's what was told to me.
Like a lot of London shoots on Alexa, so the DP was not very comfortable with Red, and we had just kind of a back and forth with him a bunch, and he just really, really, really wanted to use Alexa, which honestly we didn't care, but it just would have been nice to know before he had, you know, flown it over the ocean.
I mean a back-breakingly heavy bag. Yeah. Not to mention going through customs is not exceedingly fun, especially when this time they grilled the hell out of me, but I was really hoping they weren't like, what's in the bag? And then I'm like, oh yeah, this incredibly expensive camera that I'm definitely not doing a job with.
Like, they don't joke around with that stuff. My brother's been turned away from European borders before because one of their friends had a guitar or something and they wanted to do like a show. I mean, yeah, that's definitely, you dodged a bullet there.
Oh, I know. I mean, well, before that, I hadn't really had a problem at all. And France, they don't even care. You just walk through, really. You give the guy your passport, and he hands it straight back to you. But but this is the first time I've been, like, actually drilled about it.
The British border is scary, man, because they got that accent. And like, what's all this, then?
I'm already afraid just by what you just did. I will never bring a camera into anywhere. Because of that voice. What do you say?
When I was talking to the guy, he was like, my flight I ended up flying to LAX first. And then, so I think the guy knew it was an LAX flight. And so he was just talking about other flights from LAX that came in. He's like, yeah, Kanye West just came in earlier or whatever. And he's like, yeah, that guy's an asshole. And like, all right. I was like, yeah, shit. He's like, you do videos for him? I was like, I mean, no. I guess I wish, but he said he was an asshole, so I don't know.
On our flight to France, we were on the same flight as Jessica Alba, and I think it was Emma Roberts, and then her boyfriend.
Yeah. Nice.
It was the first time we ever saw like paparazzi. We were like, this is crazy. They were like, we knew that they were going to be there in France, like waiting for him, because we were at LAX and we saw like the flashes and stuff, and we're like, this doesn't even seem real. It's like something you see on, you know, TV all the time. And it was depressing in real life because it was super quiet and all you hear is the flashes going off. Like, no one's talking to each other. It's just like, and they're just like walking back and it's like dead quiet and everybody's just like looking at it. Like, usually I guess there's someone there's like an anchor talking over it or something. He's like, Jessica Alba's going to, you know, whatever. And it's like, this was like super, like, it was really weird. It just didn't seem real at all. Like,
I think the person's voice probably makes that more interesting at the time. It's like, yeah. And now she's walking through. It's like, yeah, she's just walking, guys.
You guys saw it from the other end. You guys saw it from the, well, now that your guys are, you know, floating back and forth from Europe to America, these sort of things are things, you know, experiences that you're going to see.
Yeah, dude. We were also in the videos from her trip. So it was pretty funny, actually.
You guys are just like in the background.
We're gonna post here pretty soon how the podcast like is following us around. Yeah.
I ripped the videos off YouTube. It was pretty funny. Like the one from when she's going through LAX, you can see us standing in the line to check our bags or whatever. And then the one when we get to Paris, like, they walk right in front of our cab. And so, like, our cab driver was, like, honking his horn really loud. And then you see my face out the back window, like, just barely. But, like, I'm sitting there, like, looking so pissed off. I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. Like, I just wanted to, like...
Are you happy with the way that you guys are represented in the paparazzi? Are you, like, confident with the way, your image is out there?
I wish they would just leave us alone, to be honest.
Get off your back. You just, like, keep shouting. They're like, bag boy, bag boy. And you're like, that's not even my name. What are you doing? So shit.
That's my brother. I'm sure he gets it all the time in Oklahoma. He's probably like... Man, my name's not Bag Boy, dude.
Right there, he's famous for that. He's like, hey, steal from me. Get in my bathtub. I hope that happened.
So, I wanted to... we should talk a little bit about the MNEK video, because it's a... Oh, I'm looking at the Vimeo still from this, and sometimes you can't really tell a lot from a video, but for the still, like the Vimeo still, you could, first of all, you have the name of the artist, and you also have the pronunciation, which is very helpful. In the still, you have a woman who is topless, except for some pink underwear. You have
and a pink beret,
of course.
Knickers.
Yeah, knickers. Yeah. Right. You have the Vimeo staff pick logo, of course, because it's a staff pick. And then you've got MNEK, and so the concept of this is you have the dolly that is in a circle that goes around it. For the last few videos, they haven't really been performance videos that you guys have done. They're more narrative style. Where did this sort of come from?
I don't know. I guess we just never have access to equipment. I mean, so we've always wanted to use a circular dolly track. Well, because when we actually thought of this, Nick was still in France finishing up the commercial, and I was here, so I had to kind of go at it alone a little bit. But... the idea was basically the things in the video, the people and the characters, are supposed to be representative of the different sounds in the song's beat, because it has a very distinct beat. And the whole idea about going around them is it's a record. Whether or not that translated in the actual video is a different thing, yeah, but that was the whole purpose of the circular track.
Yeah, definitely some stuff got lost in translation on this one, But yeah, that was definitely the goal, was to make it like it was a record.
Well, the toilet did not get lost in translation.
Yeah, that's good.
No.
That's good. People got that joke. Yeah, should have been at that meeting when we pitched that at Universal. Modest Management, they're people that manage MNEK. They also manage One Direction. So we got to that point in the, like, breaking down the video, and we just started laughing.
We just looked at each other,
we're like, so this next part is about as far as we're going to go.
You guys are right off the bat with the naked person, though, so at least they knew what they were in for.
Well, actually, Uzo, who is MNEK, he was really keen on getting that to happen, so we figured out a way to get the naked woman in there for him.
He was like, "Listen, this is if this doesn't start with the naked woman, whole deal's off. We don't have problems with if part of it isn't me looking."
I'm not gonna lie. Management and the label and Uzo, they were very keen on the naked woman.
They really wanted the nudity in there. Like, he had come up with the idea, Uzo, to like. have a friend, a quote-unquote French chick, saying the trois de un at the beginning. But so yeah, we just tried to make that as classy as we could, since it was evident that it would had to be in there, I guess.
She matches, so that's classy. That's better than if she didn't. That would be way too tacky.
Yeah. And the Bray, I see the Bray translates, definitely.
Yeah.
was she actually French? Because I have a feeling that, like, later on in the video, those aren't actual choir singers.
I don't actually know. I think she definitely wasn't British.
She wasn't she wasn't English, but I'm not actually quite sure where she's from.
Yeah.
But she was definitely not French.
Well, in the world of this video, she is.
Yes. Okay. She's French.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, they were actually having a big problem with the mole on her back at first. They were
little tidbits of this video.
Yeah.
Let's not even forget it.
I mean, you kind of already unearthed it, so
yeah, would you guys have to remove the mole?
No, they wanted a very on. You've seen Gasolfestein Pursuit, right?
And yeah,
you
know, yeah.
They wanted a really, really, really like tall supermodel looking person. And our thing is we wanted to be able to use her again, which she is used again. Maybe you don't know or don't see her, but she's in a cocktail dress later, like hitting the wine glasses.
Uh-huh.
And that was the point why we wanted to use her, so we had unlimited money. But they wanted to maybe just get a model just for that shot, and like that would be her day. You know what I mean? Like just to walk out nude for a split second and like leave, but. From a budget standpoint, it just didn't really make very much sense. So we had to kind of convince them that the mole was fine because it makes her look like an actual person and not some just like polished, you know, human.
Well, you want to have some character to people. Like for instance, some of the best movies, right, that I like at least, don't end up being ones that are necessarily with huge actors or whatever. There'll be somebody who's unknown or whatever, because you've never seen that person. They're not like chiseled face and like
supermodel
or whatever.
Steve Buscemi's a prime example of awesome person that doesn't look that awesome. But you know, to round this all off, we just wound up fighting for something we didn't even choose in the first place.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like no, now she. Yeah, well, I didn't even notice the mole, but now you say it, it's staring me in the face. That's super distracting.
French women are famous for having a single mole on their back too, so that helps create that.
I mean, that's what I was trying to tell them, but they weren't listening.
They were listening, but whatever. You got your way.
It would be it'd be super meta if you got the lady from the Gasolfestein Pursuit video. I wonder what she's doing now. She's still in that warehouse screaming. Are you talking about because there's so many ladies in that video? Were you talking about the model who's nude or the one who screams?
The one who is nude.
Okay, all right. For some reason, every time I think of the video, I think of the because there's so many. I think that was on our what was that number two on our top 10 list?
Yeah,
for 2013. It
video
was
is really fucking good.
That's a fantastic video. Yeah. You guys alluded to it a little bit, so I don't feel too bad asking. Would you guys talk a little bit about the video that didn't happen? Or are you guys already in it?
I mean, I don't want to get into it too much. Just things are just getting kind of weird.
Here's what we need to say about it. This is the thing. We had an idea, and it was sent to our manager or whatever. They came out with a video that's very similar to the idea we pitched. How that happened, we don't know the specifics, but what we do know is that we can't concentrate on this for the rest of our life. And so, like, we've just decided to, like, forget about it and just keep making videos rather than keep concentrating on something that happened. Because when it comes to this world of video, there's not really anything we can do about it. Like we can only shame somebody, and that's about it. Like they can choose to not answer or whatever, you know. But We just need to move.
We were talking about that yesterday on the or last week on the podcast with Colleen of the LA Music Video Festival about the it just seems to be happening, or at least maybe we're just hearing about it more and more, issues like that come up where elements of different videos, to different degree of blatantness, I guess, maybe the right word, are starting to show up. And you know, we had the who did a blog post and sort of, you know, outlined their whole case against the One Direction Ben Winston video, and then at the end had like everybody's like Twitter accounts and basically said, you know, harass these people. It seems like that is sort of the, I mean, that obviously takes, you know, you're putting information out there and you're kind of going on a limb to when it gets to that point, but is that like the farthest people can go?
I mean, we know Darcy and OYOL from South by Southwest pretty well, and we were talking to him about it, but I just, you know, that seems like as far as you can go, because when, like, especially for us with our instance, it was cross-continental, so that's always a problem legally anyways, because there's different laws on different things. And then the other thing is no one has any money. It's not worth any, like, really that much money, to be honest, what you would even get. And it's just, I just don't, if you do the internet thing, it's like, yeah, that's great. Oh yeah, well, I was kind of getting that stuff on Video Static and Promo News, and then I think it even got on, I forgot what site it was, but it was like
it was being talked about in Entertainment Weekly and that kind of thing. I mean, they definitely definitely talked about it. I mean, they got a little bit of buzz around it. I mean, I don't think One Direction or Ben Winston
responded. That's what I'm saying. It's like it got into those things, but then at the end of the day, like, this is, it's like, you know, that cat video or whatever that was online, and everybody's like, oh, that's so funny, but like next week no one gives a fuck about the cat video. Like, people are really, you know, adamant about it right there, and it's like, it's almost like people are like, yeah, man, that's shitty, and then like next week no one's gonna really care. They're gonna be like, you know, when, you know, people at One Direction don't care. Like, the fans don't care. Like, no one's gonna be like, I'm done, I boycott One Direction. Like, that's just not gonna happen.
Right.
I
was just gonna say, I mean, you're right. One Direction is already basically a polarizing act. Any boy band is. You either like love them a lot, or you don't give a shit about them at all. I don't think people are like hating One Direction one way or another. And you're not really gonna change
the and that's the thing that sucks, is because it should make a difference. But that's what sucks about it just in general, because you don't get paid that much. Number one, you slave away at it like they did for that concept. I'm sure, like, hours and hours of After Effects, just like trying to make this thing work. And then someone's like, oh, that looks cool, Let me just do that.
Let me pump some money into that.
And the thing is, you know, is like, I don't know Ben Whitson. I don't know if he actually saw that video. Like, I have no clue. But from what I would understand, if he wrote a treatment, that's even lamer, is all he would have to do is be like, yeah, we're going to basically do this video with, you know, One Direction. So it's like, you didn't even
just
have
like
to think.
Point to it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because it's not like they're both videos that are basically just driven exclusively by the effect, and it does, you know, there's not anything else added to it, because, you know, in filmmaking, you know, there's going to be influence. I mean, any time that any music video treatment that I've ever seen, you know, is got a page dedicated to, like, you know, a mood wall or something like that, that it's full of pictures from other movies and other music videos and other whatever that they could find for inspiration, and then they're recreating that and creating something new from it. And so, you know, you're always going to find influences. However, it, you know, in the example of it's pretty much just repackaging it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think every director is guilty of it. I mean, you have to be influenced by somebody or something, I feel like, to create really anything. It's a different, because I feel like we're strongly influenced by Spike Jonze and Michelle Gondry, which I feel like sometimes maybe shows in our videos the way that they kind of play out with the handmade kind of looks, kind of, I don't know, DIY in a way, as kind of some of Michelle Gondry's earlier type stuff look. I think it's just, there's a way to do it that's not like,
well, yeah,
super, super blatant, I guess.
I think the, like, that's not the problem. Like, obviously, I think anybody expects to get, I guess you could call it being ripped off or whatever. Anytime we make a video, I fully expect at some point down the line, even if it's whatever, 20 years from now, someone may pick something from our video and be like, hey, let's do this or whatever. And the thought is, like, no one's seen that video. And I think the problem is, it's like how far you take it when you take a piece from another video. Like, if you're literally doing that idea and it's like several elements that make it, you know, it's not just a shot, it's not just you know, just a look or whatever, it's the shot, the look, the lighting, like whatever, like or even a series of specific shots, that's when it starts getting like a little too close, and you're like, if you're gonna do that, at least give the person some credit. Like, you didn't come up with the idea, so you shouldn't claim it as your own. And I definitely feel like not saying anything about it means that you're claiming it as your own. I think it should be clearly stated, like, yeah, this is an homage to this video or whatever. And that's actually like with that Hercules and Love Affair video, like that one is very clearly and very close to like this dance number by DV8 that was like whatever, 1988 or something like that. It's like several shots, the lighting, the black and white, the dancers, and like I even saw like an interview with the choreographer that was on that Hercules and Love Affair video, and he like was picking like I think his top three dance numbers or something like that, and that was one of them. That video was one of them, and it's like, I guess I just wish that somewhere in there, like, I think they knew they were doing it, but there's been no mention of, like, this homage to this thing that was done in 1988. It's like...
Well, I guess the question then becomes, like, where does that information fit? Like, where do you kind of divulge that?
Yeah, and it does sound like while they, you know, he is making reference to it at least in the little behind the scenes. But I do think it, and we're talking about the video that came out this week, directed by David Wilson, and I thought it was a fantastic video. Obviously, when I first saw it, I was not familiar with the DV8. You mentioned it as like a theater show or something like that, and there are definitely a lot of stylistic similarities in the two videos.
I mean, there's shots in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely a lot of visual similarities for sure. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I heard that, you know, there was an influence or something like that. If you saw the treatment for that original video, if there weren't clips from DV8 in there, I do think that there is some, you know, a lot of differences in the two pieces as well.
I think by me saying that they're similar, I'm definitely not saying that one is bad and the other is not, and the other is good. I'm just saying, like I think the Hercules and Love Affair video is good. I watched it and I liked it, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like there needs to be a reference to that because like I said, the choreographer that was on the Hercules and Love Affair video, I watched a video with, and I can send you the link of him referencing that as one of his favorite you know, pieces of,
so it's that's like in like a separate close. In a separate, like an unrelated, not related to the Hercules and Love Affair video, but in something separate, you saw him reference it. That's interesting.
He's standing in front of it, and then they have like the visual reference and stuff, and he's talking about it and talking about, you know, the story that happens in it, because this other video, which is I'm gonna butcher the name, I think, but it's like Dead Dreams of Monochrome Men or something like that, but he's talking about the actual meaning in it, and it's like 36 minutes long.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And it's not going to be exactly like the Hercules and Love Affair video, but it is definitely inspired by it. Like, there's no question, I guess.
Yeah, no. So then Adam also brings up a good point of where you put that stuff, because I mean, I think you know, I think most music videos that you see, there is going to be some inspirational material, you know, that you might see as much or if not more influence from a previous piece. Like that's only natural, you know, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm curious where that information would be unearthed, where you would put that, other than like an awesome site like IMVDB.
It's really a gray area. Like we were talking about earlier, I just, like, we definitely respect David Wilson's work, and the video is undoubtedly good. It's just, I guess it's just weird. It even goes back to the One Direction Club Feet thing with Oh Yeah Wow. It's like no one knows who Club Feet are, and then but everyone knows who One Direction is. So then One Direction gets all this praise for this video, and then the people that originated it just are like left to be in the shadows, which really sucks. And it's like the same thing with the Hercules and Love Affair thing. It's like do people really know about the Deviate video? Like no one knows. Like, so it just becomes like.
And look, and I guess this is the thing. Like, when it comes to like, let's say that Jesse and I made the Deviate video or whatever, and we saw this video come out. I definitely know that I would. I mean, obviously, it was made a long time ago as well. So there's that that's added into the mixes. So I'm who knows if Deviate will ever find out if about this video or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, if we made a video and somebody copied large elements of it and put it out there, I know I'd feel passionate about it. And just like Oh Yeah Wow, I'd be like, man, that sucks. We spent all this time developing an idea and all these unpaid nights like writing up a treatment and then sending it in, and then you finally get it, you make a video, and then someone just rips it off. Like, honestly, even like credit on a YouTube video would go somewhere, because no, honestly, when it comes to the vast majority of people watching music videos, no one gives a shit who the director is, no one cares about any of that, so we're already in the shadows. But if that one person feels like, who did this video, and they click on the more info thing that says directed by Lamar plus Nick or concept, like this is an homage to a Lamar plus Nick video or whatever, and they like put a link to it, like that would be enough, because it's like, okay, this is where it came from, and they can search that up. Like, it gives somebody an option and a way back to us, because it's like, come on, give us some credit here, like we came up with the idea.
Yeah, and I think there is, yeah, I definitely agree, because there is a big difference between somebody, you know, referencing something from something obscure, maybe, and then, you know, like Quentin Tarantino, you know, referencing, you know, that famous shot from John Ford's The Searchers in Inglourious Bastards, where, you know, most people watching that are going to, or maybe not most, I guess, but people are going to recognize that and say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a reference to The Searchers. If they have no concept of it, they're not going to be thinking about that even as a reference. And then also within those different levels, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to get too explicit with it, but, you know, what happened with you guys was very, you know, clear cut and dry.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing is, it is very frustrating, and it's like, and honestly, literally the only reason we're not really like going public, I guess you could say, with that information, I mean, we're not even telling everybody all the information on here, but like the reason we're not doing that is because of what Jesse just said earlier, is like, Oh Yeah, Well, they tried their hardest to do something. They actually got traction, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, no one cares. And I feel like it would take it, at least, I feel like what they did was a good thing, because it brought that issue up, and if more people do it, then that's good. But I feel like we aren't far enough in our careers to where we have the time to spend on dealing with that. We already spent weeks, you know, we found out about this whole issue whenever we were shooting MNEK, and it was like a devastating blow in the middle of like a super stressful week. And like, honestly, it's just more about like, we need to make more videos, because at the end of the day, that's what's gonna, I don't know, make us happy. It's not gonna be going after, you know. or whatever. Like, and it's not even, that's the thing. They don't, I guarantee they have no idea about it. They have no idea it happened. It's definitely somebody everything on the back end. Yeah.
Well, I just to play devil's advocate, because I think that the visual similarities are undeniable between the DVA video and the David Wilson video. However, I honestly could tell you that I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if David Wilson or some, you know, if somehow Deviate kind of started bringing pitchforks out and made a Twitter campaign mentioning David Wilson's Twitter account, I wouldn't be surprised if he responded and said, you know, I was unaware of this completely. Like, even maybe the choreographer pulled some elements, like there, it's completely possible. You know what I mean? Like, there are definitely some similar elements, but the narrative is completely different. Obviously it's, you know, black and white. It's lit similarly. It's obviously like a dance that involves two male lovers, but the, you know, situation in which the men have found themselves together is a lot different. And yeah, there's some similarities, but you know, there's similarities in pants. So I wouldn't, you know, and I wouldn't say that, you know, there's no guarantee that anyone has still, you know, there's nobody who's come out and kind of Donald Sterling'd anything and been like, yep, that's me being racist. Like, nobody has come out and admitted that they've, you know,
Sterling say that he was racist?
Well, there was an investigation that corroborated that. That's not a real word. That, like, said that it was his voice or whatever. Yeah. So anyway,
timely references.
People are gonna be listening to this in a few years and have to pull out a Wikipedia article. So I think we should talk about some videos.
To
cleanse the palate. Yeah, we talked about "I Try to Talk to You" by Hercules and Love Affair, featuring John Grant, directed by David Wilson. But there are a slattering, I guess you could say, of some pretty awesome videos this week. Not as hype. We're not talking about any Katy Perry stuff this week.
Now, top video of the week, because that Wasted video is from last week. The top video by this week right now this week right now is Cher Lloyd, "Sirens," directed by Darren Craig, and that's about 900,000 views.
Well, we should let's mention that, because Uprising Creative had a very busy week this week.
Big week for Uprising. Yeah. Three videos for them.
And usually they're a group that sometimes has three directors. Not even like one person pushed off to the side as a co-director. Three. And this one was directed by Darren Craig, and we've had Hannah Lux Davis on the podcast before, about a year ago, I'd say, after she directed her Cher Lloyd Oath video, and she's directed one since then. And this is definitely a big departure from her previous images. If you've seen the Oath or the With Your Love video, much more serious.
I actually haven't seen those. Yeah.
Yeah, they're much more
like colorful, poppy, fun.
Yeah, right. there's more a pop wardrobe. This is more a narrative here, and I mean,
and this stuff you get from Uprising. This is kind of they do like this very, like, a lot of their stuff resembles this video. I think you will find it there. Their Shakira video feels similar to this. It like takes place in a wedding. It's got like a very like classic feel to it, and so I think you will find this style in the Uprising's videos frequently.
You know, it's really interesting. I was noticing, like, because I went through some videos last week, and it was like, well, and this week, that when I watched the Cher Lloyd video, it's like, there, you know, there's a whole large sequences where she's crying into the camera, and I just thought it was. I thought it was interesting that I feel like this is a weird sort of trend lately. Like, for instance, she's crying, like looking at the camera, really sincere and crying while she's singing. And then there's, like, before that, like Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball. And before that, the video she's, you know, doing an homage for is the Sinead O'Connor video, "Nothing Compares to You." Mm. So it's like, a bunch of, and then even Priyanka Chopra, that other I can't make you love me, that she's also crying in it. It's like super weird. I just feel like it's an odd trend. I mean, it's not bad. It's just like
I just noticed that. Yeah, even in like the Vivo screenshot, you could see a tear in the Priyanka Chopra video. You could see a tear rolling down her face. It is.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure what's behind that, but you're right. And especially for the. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say. It's a sincere reaction. It looks amazing that someone could, I guess, feel that type of emotion while they're singing their song.
So but you guys think it's legit? You think it's legit tears?
I think so. I think Sinead O'Connor is definitely sincere. I think, although I did not like the Wrecking Ball video, I think Miley Cyrus's were real as well, and Cher Lloyd's was definitely real because there was a point where she was for sure crying. But then the Priyanka one, I didn't feel it as much. I was like, eh.
So you guys are like, you guys a lot of times are known for like practical in-camera effects and stuff. If you had to fake a cry, what's the technique?
Oh, fuck. that's like my least favorite thing to do is whenever it's like, all right, this person's not going to cry or this person can't do this. And then we got to think of something on the spot for that because then that means we have to fake it. But I don't know. I mean, maybe Visine might... Hit some eye drops.
Okay, I've heard of some people doing it in post. I think Ian and Cooper did a post tear in the back to me Joel Compass video. So fun fact, you can hear them talking about that in the commentary that we have for that video. That'll be in the show notes. We'll put that in the show notes.
Audio commentary.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do it. I have to say, I didn't think the overall narrative in that Cher Lloyd video was. Super, I don't know what you would say. It's just not incredibly interesting or new, so that wasn't, like, at least for that video, that didn't really hit me too hard. But I did think that, like, there was a part where she was pretty much bawling while she was singing, which is pretty crazy.
I was waiting for a part to where they would reveal that, like, she had turned these guys in.
But yeah.
I didn't get that.
It felt like a bit incomplete. I don't know, but I mean, again, this is an understanding that all music videos are very short compared to
anything.
But like our Indie Cindy video was like a 10-minute short that we had to cut down into like less than 5 minutes, I think, or something like that. So, I mean.
Yeah, you guys mentioned that you weren't rolling on audio, had you? If you
no,
were,
we,
if you were, you would have
done that. Yeah.
Well, you know, there was another video that had like a lot of acting to it. It's funny, we see these weird trends from week to week, and for this one, it was like kind of shifts in tone from artists who had very like kind of flamboyant and flippant images before, and the other one that kind of. Is linked in my mind with this is the Brooke Candy opulence. And I went back and I watched Matt Bowman directed video for Brooke Candy from 2012, which has some of my favorite lines of all time and images. Like, you know, jiggle your tits for Brooke Candy is one of my favorite things to say in daily conversation. So then we have this opulence video, which opens with like Brooke Candy either killing or just knocking a guy out.
With a neck crack.
I have to say, that is a prime example of a singer that should not have acted.
Yeah,
that
oh was, my god.
I think you guys are being way too harsh on this video.
No, he's not at all.
Watch it again.
I watch it like five times. I wrote a blog post. I love this video so much.
No.
Well, I'm not saying anything about the video. I'm just saying that acting right there at the beginning and at the end. It's very odd and wasn't I would say not good.
I'm 100% with you on the acting. I'm 100% with you on the acting because in the beginning I don't know if it's the lines or what is she saying? She's saying like
$1,000. I'm just going to take what you owe me.
You know?
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. I think that you guys are judging this, the acting in this video, on a completely wrong scale here. We're not supposed to, like, we're not looking for Cher Lloyd level acting in a music video where part of it features Brooke Candy spread eagle in a convertible with projections behind her. With lyrics that say, like, I'm maxing out on Forbes list. Like, this is not a music video. Face is covered in diamonds and fire. Like, this is not a music video that, like, we're looking for a Meryl Streep performance at the beginning of the video. I think that that's the performance that this video was written for. So that's where I'm at.
But I think, okay. I'll just go on.
I'm not saying she's a good actress. At no point is that the argument I'm making.
The argument is bad acting is what is called for
at the beginning of this video. It's a poor performance. Well,
my personal preference would be to not. I don't think we would have included that if.
But, like, I think it's the same thing. Like, I would never look at any Lady Gaga video and say, "Oh, Lady Gaga knocked that role out." The guy Stephen Klein has frequently collaborated with Lady Gaga. Brooke Candy has gotten a lot of Lady Gaga comparisons from this video, and it's got that Gaga vibe, except, like, cranked up to 11 and infused with boobs.
She probably didn't have as much money though.
No, not nearly as much, and that's what I think is so fantastic about this video is it. She doesn't have nearly as much money, but it's still a video called Opulence, and that still makes sense. The song still hammers that through by using other things than what you would typically expect. Not just diamonds, but like a face covered in diamonds and like crazy, crazy, Marie Antoinette style hair and shit. I mean, she's like the stripper Marie Antoinette. Like, that's what Brooke Candy is in this video. And, like, yeah, I think shitty acting is what you want. So that's gonna be because it is. It's very shitty acting. I'm on board with that. So.
That's what I was definitely saying.
And we should just mention that Stephen Klein was the director of Alejandro by Lady Gaga from 2010. That's the other Lady Gaga video that he's done. I dwell it because it's a beautiful video once you get into the kind of imagery of it, you know, the, like Doug said, the diamonds on the face and all that, shot really beautifully.
There's very Spring Breakers type, at least in the colors. I always think Spring Breakers the movie. Whenever I see like neon colors in the dark now.
Yeah, it's definitely got that Spring Breakers vibe to it.
Right. I dwell on the little tiny things, and I, like, for hours after that seeing this video, I was debating in my head whether she had killed the guy or just knocked him out, because that kind of matters if it's only over $1,000.
That's a little excessive, especially since she doesn't take all the money. She specifically just takes $1,000. And I love that there's a $500 bill. The first bill she peels out, it says $500.
But then again, there's a severed head spouting blood in the Das Me video. So
that's it. I don't know why you're saying it like a German person. It's Das Me instead of like that.
Das Me.
Das Boot?
Yeah. If Adolf Hitler
just
wrote,
realize that's what you're trying to say. Oh, that's so funny.
With the name. God.
I'm gonna say it like that from now on. If I ever have to say Das,
yeah, just say Das.
Oh no!
What's up with that band Das Racist?
I do say it's Das Racist too. I mean, I just realized that that's where it's coming from. Wow. Okay, so I struggle with
words. It's with cool. Words. I want to talk about Every Time I Come Around. Can we go to the 50 Cent?
Yes, that's what I'm waiting for, man.
I 50 Cent and Eve Rivera have made a video for every song on the new 50 Cent album every week. They're in the top 10. And this video is certainly a lot more simple than some of the other ones that have been more conceptual, including one where 50 Cent is a pilot.
Oh no!
This video, it's true. And he pulls it off. This video is like a very classic New York City rooftop music video. And what I will say about this video, despite its simplicity, is 50 Cent, regardless of how big he gets, I still think he pulls off the New York City rooftop video. I don't think you could throw Jay-Z on the rooftop of a Brooklyn building and have him like not look out of place at this point. But I think 50 Cent still pulls this look off. And those are my thoughts in this video.
I mean, the video cinematically is awesome. I really like some of the snow shots. The thing that was super funny to me is that I mean, the video is fine to me. When did 50 decide Ring Around the Rosie was a gangster anthem is my question. because when I heard that chorus, I gotta tell you, I was laughing pretty hard. It was like, Ring Around the Rosie. like that's some stuff that like Nick and I would make up like as a joke. This was what I am, but like now people like, can you imagine like you're in the hood and someone's just like, man, you got a new 50 Cent joint? Man, he just flit Ring Around the Rosie and made it just...
Cent's been talking about candy shops and magic sticks and things that have been kid-inspired for a while. So he's just going to see how far he can take it. Ring Around the Rosie's next. You know, you might find the alphabet on the next album just working.
Well, I guess there's like a law of diminishing returns for what you can sample. I mean, you know, they've mined the 60s and the 70s and, you know, for, you know, a good part of the 80s, you know, I think there's still some stuff to mine back in there. But, now, you know, at a certain point, you're going back to like the like Super B tracks and like, you know, charted at, you know, 36, you know, Gilbert O'Sullivan from the 70s kind of stuff. But then, you know, so maybe you kind of flip it around. You go back to nursery rhymes. I mean, maybe that's going to be a trend.
Well, here's the thing that you guys aren't considering is that those songs are old enough. Nursery rhymes are old enough. Those are in the public domain, all right? They're not paying anyone for those samples. He could just take Row, Row, Row Your Boat. He could just pull those joints.
Yeah, I think it's goofy that he used Ring Around the Rosie, but at the same time, it's amazingly hilarious.
Yeah.
And I will probably listen to it again just so I can laugh. Because
it will be watched by a million people. I mean, 50 Cent still has what would appear to be a pretty passionate fan base. I mean, every week he comes out with a music video, and literally every week, you know, million plus top five videos of the week. And you know, Eve Rivera is a really talented director as well. I think that's a good team there for 50. I think it's a good combo for him. But
I want to know when that like suite of videos started shooting. Like, was that last January?
It's crazy.
Like January 2013 or something. Like
they fit a lot of green screen stuff into the like into narrative stuff in a lot of those videos too. I have a feeling they were all shot, you know, very close to one another. And then this was like, if you go on 50 Cent's website right now, it's like, it's just like the whole track list from his new album. I think it's called Animal Instinct or something like that. Just Google 50 Cent Animal, you'll find it.
Animal Ambition.
Animal Ambition. I knew it was that. But they're crossed out the song as they come out. They cross out the list, or maybe it's the other way around. They become uncrossed out when they come out. But either way, it's like a countdown for these videos. So this was definitely like a plan. And shit, it's hard to argue with all those millions of views. That's a lot of millions.
Yeah, for sure.
I also thought there's like the scratched effect on the top. That was fine to me. But then they did this weird CNN thing where they had like, you know, like CNN, whenever they get an iPhone video that someone has retardedly filmed vertically, they zoom a copy of that same video up bigger to fill in the like black bars on the left and right. And they did that on the video. I found that kind of distracting.
They also do that for SD footage that when they're showing it on HD, I think. Right.
Yeah, like fill in the other places with rebroadcast. Yeah, it's definitely.
Well, I guess that fits into a tradition in hip hop videos of using the letterbox bars for something else.
Yeah.
We've seen. I can't remember the video that was a London Alley video.
It was a Colin Tilley video, but yeah, you see a lot of that stuff in Colin Tilley videos and Hype Williams videos and Benny Boom videos. All those guys who are like, who have basically cornered that flashy hip hop video game. They do a lot of that stuff. Yeah, messing with the letterboxes and stuff, and that goes all the way back to like television days and stuff, when the videos would even be played on MTV and be played in full frame, but they'd still shoot them in widescreen and then put other shit. That Big Pimpin', I think, does that, and some of those classic videos, classic 90s hip hop videos. So anyway, I think 50's pulling off the rooftop look. It's a good look for him. You guys gotta go check him out as a pilot, though.
Bring her around the road,
dude. That sounds really fun.
These niggas getting cake, mate. Like, I'm sorry, dude, but if you're not laughing at that, I don't know, dude.
It started to feel tough when listening to
like Rainbow I was watching. I was like, all right, man, 50's back, and then like it got to that part. I was like, all right.
It's funny how quick everyone wants it to happen. It's like, yeah, come back, 50, and he's like, I just keep making money with nursery rhymes, yo. Since we're talking about funny videos, why don't we talk about one that's intentionally funny? And that's Please Use This Song by John Lajoie, directed by John and Brandon Dermer, who we hung out with at South by Southwest. He took your guys' place this year, Lamar and Nixon.
Right.
I actually thought that video was really clever.
This one, the Please Use This Song video?
Yeah.
You know, he has a special place in my heart just because of the "Show Me Your Genitals" video. but that was I thought it was quite on point with how it actually is. So.
Yeah, because I think John Lajoie is. I mean, you know, I too like loved his videos in like 2007, 2008, like "Show Me Your Genitals" and "High as Fuck" and "Everyday Normal Guy."
Talking about this
show,
like elegantly.
Yeah, exactly. High as fuck, 2007. And then, you know, because Doug and I saw him live in, I don't want to say concert, but it was like a live performance, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, where he like did, you know, like all these songs. So there's this, I think, a really big challenge for him, you know, what to do next. I mean, he could do the same thing over and over again, and he's done, you know, variations on that. He, like, I Kill People was like the same character, and then he's gone into a lot of hip-hop parodies. He did, you know, Started as a Baby, Fuck Everything, and I think this is a really good mix of doing like a parody song with the video, which is where the video is like such a big part of the song, you can't really extrapolate the two.
John just better watch out, man, because he'll become Yankovic. He keeps on the same trend, man.
Well, Weird Al, he goes through peaks and valleys. I mean, that dude, he's been doing the same shit for like 40 years. But
and I think MTV helped.
That's kind of crazy.
MTV helped him a lot though too, because you know,
go ahead.
I was actually on TV at some point.
Right, Lajoie actually does do some acting. He's on the FX show The League. Which is a show about fantasy football that's got Nick Kroll and Mark Duplass and a couple other people, Paul Scheer. It's like an improvised show, mostly improvised, and John Lajoie is on there, and he plays a funny character. Occasionally he sings and plays guitar, but for the most part he just kind of plays a character. So it's cool though that he has kept with the YouTube YouTube thing. Despite kind of getting into some more kind of standard acting, but you're right, he's had to diversify a little bit. And what I love about the stuff though is there's obviously the main joke, but then, you know, there's always those underlining jokes that like make it still work for 4 minutes. I mean, if it was just 4 minutes of the joke of like, put my song in your thing, like, you know, there are additional elements to the video that make it continue to work over that 4 minute span. And you know what, he's actually a pretty good, he's got a nice voice, and he seems to be a good musician, I think too. I think that helps him out a bit.
And we should just make a quick note that they kind of brought out the big guns for this. Greg Reese is the colorist at the Mill. who has done a lot of fantastic music video work, so he definitely knows what he's doing. And the Mill does obviously commercials and music videos. He did the color for, you know, 16 Saltines by Jack White and Asphyxiated by Moors. So
I'm always curious where the budgets come from on these Le Joie videos. I mean, he obviously, with YouTube, he's got a bunch of subscribers. These videos are making money. It's his own channel. It's not like a Vivo channel. So
yeah.
Any money that comes from the million views that he's going to generate this week or in the next couple of weeks, you know, he gets that stuff. And so I guess that's where the budget comes from. Because this is, I mean, can you guys tell what camera this video was shot on? Something
man, expensive. I don't know nothing. not an iPhone.
It wasn't a DSLR.
No, right, exactly. Something fancy. Something that he wouldn't want to take through customs. So,
yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Well, sneak through customs.
Oh, Woody.
And I'm surprised this is only sitting at like 600,000 views at the moment, because he was on, it was near the top on Reddit, and he did an AMA yesterday as well. I saw this everywhere.
Right. Yeah, this is basically all him, what he built in from doing all that older stuff, that high as fuck and show me your genital stuff, which, yeah, I used to ride out to that stuff in the car. I didn't need the video for that stuff. I would put that shit in and people would be like, I don't want to ride with you anymore. And I'd be like, yeah, I kind of get that.
You're the guy that owns those Lonely Island CDs.
That's me. That's me and Adam right there.
Oh, my open, God.
Open Lonely you Island. You know what?
These kind of things, I have to say, like, as a potential friend who might be in a car with you at some point, these things live on video. Like, they really do. They're funny once in a while, but there's no way you're going to catch me jamming out to, you know, please use this song in the car. Like, oh, that was that funny part where he took out the medicine or whatever.
I've been called a Philistine on my own podcast.
That is the best podcast title ever, Potential Friend.
I'm
in the evaluation stage. Yeah,
right, exactly.
I think I said the order wrong. I meant that I would potentially be in a car with you.
Right,
whatever. We're friends, or at least you're my friend. I don't know.
No,
I'm your friend.
Except me and Adam.
Well, I think as Doug, you know, is evaluated as a potential friend, I think we might be out of time here.
A lot of videos. I made Lamar and Nick watch a lot more videos than we talked about. So
no, yeah, I think we went through almost the entire list. The only ones we haven't talked about are Pray for Love and Robbers and something on my mind.
Yeah,
on my mind.
Basically, should we just do a quick what was everyone's favorite of the week? Let's just do that real quick. Fairhope first.
I'm gonna go with my boy 50. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's cool. Well, we are.
Sorry, I'm gonna let you finish. 50 Cent had the best video all week.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with my boy 50.
It's a Nick? Solid choice. Yeah.
And so many videos. Oh, you know, I do have to say something about that Something a la Mode video on my mind. I want to know how long it took to render those that video. That video and the other one they've done, it looks like they only had two videos. Man, those are like super special effects heavy. Like, I want to know. I mean, those guys were seriously pounding away at their computers for I don't know how long. And I want to know, like, the turnaround on one of their projects. Like, it's an amazing amount of effects, and it looks really good.
Yep.
Yeah. I think for me, it's probably going to end up being the Hercules and Love Affair video, just because I did like the end product there. Although, you know, as we previously mentioned,
you wish they would have given love.
The homage credit wasn't there.
But it's still your favorite of the week. Well, yeah, I don't think that's a fantastic choice. I think it's a really beautiful video. So yeah, maybe some of that stuff will come out. Maybe you'll see some interviews with the crew behind it, and you'll see some Deviate Love.
I think it's just important because this goes all the way back to Vivo credits. Like, I think there was something about them possibly trying harder to make sure people are credited, but I feel like I feel like they should have an obligation to like require credits from people, because that's the only way, like, some of these music videos don't have that much money, and like there are way too many people working on the project for that amount of money, and I feel like those people need to get credited. Like, that's the only way they get work. So it's just nice if their name's actually on it and people can admire their work. I mean, almost nobody watches the full credits of a movie, but like, it's there, and if someone wanted to find out, they could.
I always do, because I don't want to miss any chance of an Easter egg at the end. I'm so Easter egg hungry when it comes to movies that I watch the credits all the way through. Really bad joke. Really bad joke.
Easter egg hungry.
But sweet, the at Fairhome, favorite video.
I'm gonna go with one we didn't talk about, the 1975 Robert. But you know, to the point of credits, because obviously it's something we spend a lot of time thinking about. We have, you know, over 107,000 credits in the database right now, and close to 30,000 videos. And I, you know, 95 of those have at least a director credit, or at least one credit to them.
95%.
95%, yes. 95 videos. We did it, guys. It only took us 4 years. But I think, you know, the thing about, you know, credits at the end of the movie is I'm pretty sure mandated by some sort of guild, or the various guilds, like the director guild, which music videos, directors and music, and especially people who work on music videos, as creative people and as, you know, production people, don't have. So, you know, if you're looking up a name, you know, you're going to IMDb. And hopefully if you're looking up a music video credit, you're going to IMVDB, which are both, you know, as far as I know, not associated with any guilds. And, you know, I know there are different ways that those credits get on there. But, you know, it's sort of a happy accident that there is, a database like that that's as comprehensive. And we're trying to get the happy accident going over there. But, I mean, it remains to be seen. What if, you know... Because I think it's going to take some sort of organized effort to get, you know, credits on Vivo or...
I don't think it's going to be Vivo at all.
Make a guild.
Let's do it. Let's start.
Let's make a guild right now. Let's make our millions.
There's a money. There's money in that guild, guys.
We'll make our millions as the muscle.
You have no idea what that guild is worth.
Just stand outside Vivo.
I don't think it's Vivo. I don't think Vivo is credit hungry at all. That I don't think
they about to be though.
We got to go outside their office and ring around the rose.
We about to feed them some credits too.
Oh man,
we're not gonna do anything.
Well, it's just I think they need to feel obligated to do that, because it's like, look. Most of those people, or if not all of them, are salaried paid workers, and the rest of us are kind of dying for our videos here, and it's like we want to at least be credited. Mm-hmm. I mean,
for instance, when you're submitting something to South by Southwest, you need to put in a name for whoever, you know, made it. Like, that would be dumb of South by Southwest to be like, we don't even need to know who made this shit. Just fucking submit it. Like, I don't understand. Like, if you submit that without a name, anything, emails, whatever. Like, when you're signing up for an account, you get a big red box if you don't put a name in there. Why can that not be implemented into uploading a Viva video?
Yeah. I mean, the vast amount of people that watch music videos, again, they don't think the directors make the videos. Like, they think Lady Gaga's coming up with her concepts. They think that, you know, like...
She very well may be, but executing
okay,
is a
I
totally
don't
different
her
thing.
Okay, I don't know specific situation, but I have a feeling that she doesn't come up with everything. Like,
but certainly not every pop star does. If Lady Gaga does, because she's an anomaly.
That's what I'm saying. Most, I would say, the majority of music videos that come out are not ideas that came from the artist. Right. It's an idea that was run past the artist, and the artist liked it, which is fine. I just feel like no one's going to convince the public that directors come up with the ideas. You're not going to know that unless someone asks. I mean, again, it comes back to us. It's going to be like the DMVG or the MVDG. That's the guild.
That's us.
Yeah. Every time I come around, I keep my gun around. It's never on safety.
I'm going to lobby for the DMVG because the other one has VD in it, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
This one has DMV in it. It doesn't have to do with cars or anything, but...
Well, if you guys start that, let us know.
Sorry, I looked up the lyrics.
we'll link those to the show notes, the 50 cent lyrics.
Yeah. All my niggas crazy stupid, cuckoo, got a screw loose.
I remember hearing that part. I think that's when I laughed. Like, I was like, oh, dude, what?
Yeah, featuring, it was, it's 50 cent featuring Kid.
Right, Kid, who features heavily on the Animal Ambition album.
Yeah.
So look out for Kid.
It's Kid Squared, so.
Well, Lamar, Nick, thank you guys for joining us. This is awesome. And I want to apologize for not having you guys sooner. That was a lapse in judgment, you know? Just us.
You can invite us back anytime you want. We'll, nice. Maybe I'll just send you an email reminder every month. I'll be like, hey.
Guys, what the fuck?
I have not received the invite for this month.
So if you're wondering where to find Lamar and Nick, we got all the links in the show notes. Just go to imvdb.com/podcasts, and it's all there. As well as their page on IMVDB with all the videos. And if you guys have been on the blog many times, so we're going to put the blog links in there as well.
And also find us on the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Slanging, yay.
Around the road. Man, I got a pocket full of posy, though.